Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The Boston mayoral election is coming on Tuesday. Yesterday on this program, we heard from challenger City Councilor Tito Jackson, who criticized incumbent Boston Mayor Marty Walsh's record on housing and school funding. This morning, we hear from Marty Walsh. The Boston Municipal Research Bureau says more than half the city school students attend a low-performing school. So we started by asking Mayor Walsh what he plans to do about that if he's reelected.
Well, we have more high-performing schools than ever in the history of our city. We also are working on creating a program called Excellence for All that will get more people in the higher standards of curriculum in our schools. We really have to focus on making sure we bring this program, Excellence for All, to all of our schools. And I think over the next 4 years, we're going to continue to make big gains in our systems.
We spoke to Professor Paul Revel at the Harvard School of Education, who believes that school closings in Boston are going to be financially unavoidable. Here's what he said.
You've got an oversupply of facilities relative to the number of students you have. It seems inevitable that in order to save taxpayer money, you're going to have to shut down some of those schools, but it's never popular.
Do you agree that it's inevitable? And is the decision being put off because closing schools is simply unpopular?
I don't necessarily agree with the fact that we have to close schools. I think that we have an increase in population in our city of Boston in the last 3 years. It only makes sense that our schools will grow as well with more students as people have children. I think that when we did an assessment of our buildings, we found that we have, you know, not enough space in our buildings to have a true sense of education for our young people. Now, whether that's a science labs or arts labs or classroom spaces. So our plan that we're gonna implement in investing $1 billion in new school buildings is really to create efficient spaces. I mean, obviously, if there's a reduction in students in our districts over time, then we would have to think about, do we have too many buildings and seats?
Let's talk about housing for a couple of minutes. Your opponent, Tito Jackson, points to the fact that more than 10,000 affordable housing units in developments around the city will soon be expiring as affordable units, such as at Roxy Homes, Academy Homes, Camden Street, where rent on some units might well double in order to keep up with the market price. What can you do about that? What can the administration do about that to keep those units affordable? Anything?
We've done it, and I've done it my entire career. I mean, back when I was a state legislator, there was a couple of our buildings in my district at the time that were expiring use, and we're able to work with the owners of those buildings and the federal government. The council might have brought it up, but we deal with this issue every single year. It's not in the future. It's happened right now in the present. So I think it's important for us to continue those relationships and conversations with the developers of areas. My biggest fear is that the federal government is divesting out of housing, and they need to continue to invest in housing. So we're going to continue to work to make sure those units stay affordable for families.
Race in the economy. There are very few statistics that really illustrate the divide in Boston as well as the one that the Federal Reserve found when it showed that white families in Boston have a median net worth of around $250,000. Hispanic families have $3,000, and black families have $8, just $8. And I'm wondering what your concrete plan is for next term, if you're reelected, to help people of color in Boston build wealth.
Well, the first thing we have to recognize is this is not a Boston problem only. This is a United States problem. A lot of that number is there because more white families tend to own property, and black families and Latino families don't necessarily have a chance to own their own home. So a lot of this is failed policy on a federal, state, and local level that's happened over time. But this is probably one of the biggest issues that my administration has been working on these last 4 years and is going to continue to work on these next four until we see some real gains. We haven't seen enough gains to be able to talk about victories and be successful here, so we have more work to do there.
Isn't part of the key to this jobs? In the last mayoral campaign, just about all the candidates, including you, pledged to try to get businesses to locate in neighborhoods that need jobs. Boston has been very successful in getting companies to locate in the Seaport, the Innovation District, elsewhere. But what about getting companies closer to where people who struggle actually live? What can you do in the next term if you're reelected to accomplish that?
We've started to that now in Roxbury, Manapin. We're seeing a lot more development happening in those neighborhoods than has ever happened in the past. We have to continue that. I mean, there's a couple developments in Roxbury, P3, that we've been trying to get off the ground for a long time. And there's been a lot of resistance. The counselors fighting it now, my opponent. And what we wanted to do is create opportunities for economic gain for families.
Let me take you back to something that you said last summer. You told the Boston Globe that after you got elected mayor, I literally went home every night for the first 3 months and said, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? It sounds like you were really doubting yourself as mayor at first. Do you still have those feelings? How's your perspective changed?
Let me recategorize. I wouldn't say doubting myself. What it was such a daunting task between the schedule and the issues, how quickly they change, and the demand on the office from the press. It's an incredible job. It's an incredible rewarding job, but it's an incredible challenging job as well at the same time. I mean, just as quickly as you celebrate a victory, whatever that victory might be, the next phone call could be something that's, an act of violence in the city of Boston or a disappointment somewhere. So you have to constantly, this is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week job.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, thanks a lot for speaking with WBUR's Morning Edition. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Bob.